You're listening to the Golem Institute podcast series, The Rawi Gems, by Mufti Hussein Kamani. Golem is pleased to announce the Hadith Intensive, an immersive study into the science of Hadith and Sunnah. For more information, visit golem.org/hadith. And Jazakallah khair for listening.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina astafa, khususan ala sayyidi al-rusuli wa khatam al-anbiya wa ala alihi al-askiya wa ashabihi al-atiya amma ba'd. Today in Surah Shura, we recited some very beautiful verses. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, while describing His beloved servants, He says, وَالَّذِينَ يَجْتَنِبُونَ كَبَائِرَ الْإِثْمِ وَإِذَا مَا غَضِبُوهُمْ يَغْفِرُونَ وَالَّذِينَ اسْتَجَابُوا لِرَبِّهِمْ وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةُ وَأَمْرُهُمْ شُورَى بَيْنَهُمْ وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَهُمُ الْبَغْيُ هُمْ يَنْتَصِرُونَ. And the ayahs then continue on. I wanted to start from the last part of what I just recited, then we'll continue forward. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions that one of the signs of my beloved servants is that وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَهُمُ الْبَغْيُ يَنْتَصِرُونَ. That whenever anyone transgresses them, they equally match that person in transgression. And then in the next verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that's one level of my servants. For example, if someone does something wrong to you, if someone does something bad, says something bad to you, if someone hurts you in a particular way, you have the legal right to now take revenge from that person equivalent to what that person has done to you. For example, if a person was to say, the Mufassirin, they use this word, they say, if a person was to come to you and say to you, أَخْزَاكَ اللَّهُ, which means may Allah disgrace you. Now legally, it is permissible for you to say to that person, أَخْزَاكَ اللَّهُ, that may you also be disgraced. And in one narration, it states that if a person says something, when a person initiates, you know, something evil, and the other person responds, the person who initiated is responsible for both of the sins of the people, until the second person surpasses the first. When the second person surpasses the first, now he will be held accountable by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There was a great oppressor in Islamic history by the name of Hajjaj bin Yusuf. Some of you may have heard of his name. Someone asked one of the scholars of the time, that is it permissible for us to make dua against Hajjaj bin Yusuf that he be destroyed? Can we curse him? Can we make dua against him? So the scholar mentioned that it is permissible for you to make dua against Hajjaj bin Yusuf. However, bear in mind, make sure you know your limits and you don't pass him. Because if you pass him in making dua against him, it is possible that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hold you accountable on the Day of Judgment. So, you have to learn to balance it. Is it permissible for a person to take revenge off of someone? Yes, it is. And at times, it actually becomes necessary. It becomes necessary for a person not to forgive. There are times when you forgive, and then there are times where you tell yourself, I won't forgive because if I continue to forgive, this issue will only continue on. I'll give you an example. There was a great scholar from the subcontinent by the name of Mujaddid al-Fithani, rahmatullahi alayhi, Sheikh Ahmed Sarhindi. Sheikh Ahmed Sarhindi, he said something very beautiful. He said, to do takabbur in front of a mutakabbir is sadaqah. You guys understand that? To do takabbur in front of a mutakabbir is sadaqah. What that means is, if there's someone who's very boasty, really full of himself, you know, someone who's very proud of himself, really full of pride, he said, to show pride to that person is a form of sadaqah. Because a person who's full of pride, if you try to be humble in front of him, you're only feeding his ego. You're only feeding his ego. You're feeding the fire even more. So at that time, you shouldn't be humble then. That's where you need to stand firm and say, no, this is not how it's going to be. You know, if you did wrong, I'm going to tell you straight to your face. If there's a bully in the community, someone that's oppressing other people with his tongue, with their hand, with their wealth, then for you to be humble is not the right thing. For you to stand up and raise your voice that what you're doing is wrong, and you need to know that what you're doing is wrong. And there are many examples of this. Many, many examples. Someone once came to me and said to me, Sheikh, I went for Hajj and I paid a premium dollar for my Hajj package. I paid a lot of money. Paid $10,000 for the Hajj package. How much? $10,000. You know, there was a time where we used to do Hajj for $4,000. Yeah. Anyone remember those days?
No.
Right? No, you don't remember them? They don't exist anymore? $10,000 Hajj package, okay? He said, but when I went there, the person oppressed me. He did not give me the service that he promised me. And the room that I was told I was going to get, I didn't get that. The food I was promised, I didn't get that. The buses I was promised, I didn't get that. The flights that were promised, I didn't get those either. He said, everything that I was promised, the person went against his promise. And then when I held him accountable in the haram, in Makkah, I called him out and I said, you've oppressed me. He said to me, brother, it's Hajj, do sabr. What did he say? Brother, it's Hajj, do sabr. People love using the religion as their shield, right? So he asked me, Sheikh, is it permissible for me to sue that guy? Because he took my money and I want my money back. At least equivalent to what he oppressed me for. Now someone would say to him, brother, you know what? Forgive him. Someone would say, go ahead and do it. What I did was I asked that brother, look, have other people in the same group, do the other people in the same group have the same complaint? He said, most of the people in the group have the same complaint. Then I said, maybe it's best for you to take this to an arbiter and actually sit down and see who was in fault. And if anyone was in fault, then they should compensate on behalf of their fault. You shouldn't use religion to hold it as, you shouldn't hold religion as a shield and hide behind it when you're oppressing other people. If as a person you made someone a promise, you owe them that promise. And if a person has a track record of making promises to people and not fulfilling it, then it becomes a responsibility of someone to stand up and say, brother, this is not how you do it. However, when you do correct someone, you need to know how to do it. You don't go public with it and disgrace them and humiliate them. You have to know how to work with it mildly. And if it doesn't work, then you bring it to the people who can now be influential in that situation and resolve the situation. Now, there was an incident during Hudaybiyah where the Prophet, you guys know the Hudaybiyah, the famous treaty that took place between the Muslims and the people of Makkah Mukarramah. So during the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, one of the people, one of the spokesmen from the side of the Mushrikeen of Makkah Mukarramah, he stood to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's face and he said something very foul to the Prophet. He said, you know, Muhammad, I'm just telling you right now that, you know, all these guys around you, one day they're all going to run away from you. And when everyone abandons you and you're going to be all alone, we're going to come and grab you then. Now, when he said this, that the Sahaba would leave the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you guys don't understand what this means. But for the Sahaba, that was the biggest swear you could have ever given them. That was the biggest, the filthiest swear you could have said at a Sahabi was that one day you're going to abandon from the Prophet and you're going to run away from him. And then we're going to crush him. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu was standing there. And while this person's saying this, imagine the emotions that are going through Abu Bakr's mind. That I went through thick and thin. I never abandoned the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I stood by him during Hijrah. I was there when he was being beaten up in Makkah Mukarramah, and I was being beaten up in Makkah Mukarramah. I was with him in the battle of Badr, Uhud, and Khandaq. And here you're saying that I'm going to leave him one day? Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, what does he do? Does he remain silent? Does he stay humble and quiet? No, he raised his voice. And he said something to him. He said, "Umsus Badr al-Lat." Now, I can't translate this statement because there are young kids in this gathering. But for those of you who can read between the lines, it was one of the most harsh statements a man like Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu could have said. And the scholars actually discussed this, that the Prophet called him Siddiq, the truthful in the tongue. I mean, the man was he had a very pure tongue. But how could he say such a swear? It's such a foul statement, he said. So the scholars, they say, even that harsh statement coming out of his tongue at that time was a sign of his truthfulness. Because that's how they offended him, and that's how he came right back at them. He didn't hide something inside him. He immediately said it to that person the way it was. So at times you need to know that there is a responsibility upon us to stand up and raise our voice. When oppression is taking place, when the community is being oppressed, when another person is being oppressed, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Unsur akhaka zaliman aw madhluman." That help your brother if he is an oppressor. Or help your brother if he is oppressed. So now the second part of the hadith makes sense. If someone's oppressed, help him. How do you help him? Stop the oppressor. Push him away. Go take the oppressed. Give him a home. Give him some clothing. The first part of the hadith, what does that mean? Help your brother if he is an oppressor. Does that mean you beat the other guy with him? No. The Prophet says, help him. What does help him mean? Help him stop his oppression. Help him stop it. You tell him, many people, they're so used to hearing their praise that no one's ever gone to them and told them that this is what the reality is. You're just a very arrogant, sick person, and people are getting fed up with you. I'm just telling it to you. You know, don't say it like that, because that'll cause a lot of problems. But at times, you need to know how to say it. You need to know when to say it. And you also need to know who you're talking to. Now, if you said what I said right now to maybe a coworker, you might get away with it. If you said it to a friend, you might get away with it. Try saying it to your wife. Right? You have to know how to say it. You have to know when to say it. And you have to always ask yourself, that is my statement actually a sign of my disease? Or in reality, is that person the way I'm saying? It's a very tricky place to be at when you're correcting other people and when you have to call other people out. Now, however, the normal attitude of a Muslim should not be to always want revenge. This whole idea of always wanting revenge is also a spiritual disease. Sometimes demanding revenge, like I said earlier, when it's justifiable, when it's needed, is necessary. But majority of the times, if someone does something wrong to you, what should be your first response? Forget it. Overlook that person. Let it be. Someone takes something of yours, forget about it. Someone takes your shoes one day by accident outside this hall, rather than standing here and saying someone stole it, and this happens all the time. You go to any masjid, right? And someone will always be standing at the shoe case after Jummah Salah saying, someone stole my shoes. Forgive people. Overlook them. I remember one thing I heard a long time ago, many years ago. There was a sheikh who used to go for Jummah prayer. And when he used to go for Jummah prayer, he would take his slippers off and put them inside the shoe rack. This is back home. So, you know, they have thousands of people and everyone puts their shoes there. People don't have, you know, greatly distinguished shoes. They're more or less the same slippers everyone's wearing. So he would take his shoes and put them inside. His students realized that everyone's shoes would go missing every week. His shoes would never go missing. So, because in India and Pakistan, back home, they also have this idea of chappal chori. You guys know what that means? People, they go to big events, big gatherings. They wait for people to take their shoes off. They steal them. They then polish them and sell them in the market again. I kid you not, I have bought my own slippers from the market once. I kid you not. I was in India. I was in a village there. I lost my pair of shoes. I went to the nearby store and I bought my same shoes again. Right? I am a witness to this. But anyway, that happens. People, they take slippers, they clean them, wash them, and then they sell them in the market again. So when someone asked the sheikh that, why is it that your slippers never get stolen? He said, because every day, every Friday, when I take my slippers off and I put them in the rack, I say, Ya Allah, this is halal for any person. And a stealer will never take something halal, he only takes haram. You guys understand that? But the default response of a Muslim should be to forgive everyone. If someone does something wrong to you, you're doing tawaf, someone nudges you, should you glare that person down? Forgive them, it's okay. You know, you're walking and someone doesn't say salam to you. Forgive them, it's okay. Someone borrowed $2 from you, unless you're really going to die with all those $2, should you even hold it in your heart? It's okay, your mother-in-law says a few words to you, no problem. One day your child shows more affection to the father than the mother, no problem. One day the child shows more affection to one of your friends than yourself, no problem. Learn to forgive people, have that open heart. Forgive people as much as you can. You're driving at 5 miles an hour and someone dinks you from behind. Do you really need to cause a big commotion on the street? Forgive them, it's okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's one hadith I'm going to quote. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said on the day of judgment, a caller will call out, one of the angels will call out, that is there anyone today who Allah owes a reward to, stand up. Is there anyone today who Allah owes a reward to, stand up? The hadith mentions thousands of people will stand up. Thousands of them. And when they will stand up, people will ask, who are these people? And then the ayah of the Quran will be recited, فَمَنْ عَفَى وَأَصْلَحَ فَأَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. And whoever forgives other people and mends the relationship after forgiving, Allah will owe him a reward. And in the hadith at the end mentions that when these thousands of people will stand up, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow them to enter into Jannah بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ, without any hisab at all. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to all these people, go into paradise, the doors of paradise are open for you. So in family, amongst your friends, small things like this, learn to have a big heart and forgive. If your daughter-in-law has done something wrong, if she didn't cook the food properly, forgive her. Think of her like your own daughter. You know, we as mother-in-laws and father-in-laws, we only hold our daughter-in-laws as our daughters and sons as far as it comes to responsibilities. But as soon as they fail the responsibility, now they're no longer our daughter or son anymore. Right? Now they're no longer our daughter or son. Now we treat them like a prisoner. Now we treat them like slaves. So amongst each other, with family members, if someone invites all the family over and didn't invite you, does that mean you should stop talking to that person? Forgive them. Today in the world, I've realized the number of fights that have occurred within our families and our communities because of food is disgusting. Right? Small little petty things. Small petty things. One lady, she reached out to me. I'm not going to say anything more than that. One lady reached out to me and she said to me, Sheikh, I'm having a big problem with my in-laws. I said, what is it? She said, My father-in-law, when he comes to visit me, every meal, he wants everything. What that means is he wants vegetable, he wants rice, he wants biryani, he wants roti, then he wants chicken, and he wants beef, and he wants goat. She said, I'm okay with six things, but the goat is too hard for me to cook because I don't like the smell. I tried to explain to him. He said, if you don't make it, maybe tumhara ghar nahi aunga. I'm not going to come to your house either. Now look at this, look how... You know, senseless people are at times. We all need to learn to open our hearts a little bit, okay? Everyone needs to open their hearts. If every moment you and I keep getting angry at each other, then what will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do with us? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Man la yarham, la yurham." The one who doesn't show mercy, he will not be shown mercy by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, and the hadith doesn't only say to forgive. The ayah doesn't only say to forgive. It doesn't only say, "Faman afa." It doesn't stop there. It doesn't say فَمَنْ عَفَى فَأَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. It says فَمَنْ عَفَى وَأَصْلَحَ فَأَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Whoever forgives and also, he mends as well. He connects as well. He joins as well. So I'll give you an example of this. Someone slaps you on the face, you smile back at him and say, give me your hand, let me kiss your hand and honor you. Someone pushes you a little bit, you ask the brother, are you okay? Someone's looking for shoes, you say, brother, you take my shoes. You guys understand? Someone takes his shoes by accident, rather than only forgiving them, raise your hand and say, Ya Allah, allow those shoes to serve that person until the day of judgment. You know, make dua for people. open your heart and not only forgive, but the Prophet ﷺ was a beautiful example of this. He's leaving Taif. They've oppressed him. He doesn't only forgive them, but he also makes dua as well. He says, Ya Allah, if not them, then from their children someone will accept Islam. On the day of the conquest of Makkah Mukarramah, they're all lined up, all the criminals, all the people that had oppressed the Muslims for all those years. And the Prophet, not only does he forgive them, he also honors them as well. Right? He says, whoever enters into the house of Abu Sufyan, we give him aman. Abu Sufyan had accepted Islam at the time. But anyway, the Prophet ﷺ, he honored them. We have so many examples like this from the Prophet's life. The lady who tried, the Jewish lady who poisoned the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ didn't have her killed in return. The Prophet ﷺ, he forgave her. And even during the Prophet's death, he said, I can still taste the poison from that lady in my mouth, and that's what's causing it right now. The Prophet ﷺ pardoned. There are so many examples like this, not only to pardon, but to also go ahead and send that person a gift. Someone swears at you while you're driving because you're driving too slow, or maybe you're driving too fast. Someone swears at you, correct yourself, and then make dua for that person. Ya Allah, give him hidayah. Ya Allah, give her hidayah. Ya Allah, give me hidayah. You know, I'm going to end with a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ says, you know, we always read about the importance of joining ties, joining relations, being kind to one another as relatives. The Prophet ﷺ says, joining ties does not mean to shake someone's hand who's shaking your hand. Not being equal. This is what happens in our community. You give someone a gift, they give you a gift. You know, when in our Indian-Pakistani community, when someone gets married, the mother-in-law, the guy's mother, the groom's mother will always tell her son and the daughter-in-law that keep all the gifts you have aside and note down how much each person gave you. Why? Hum bhi unki shaadi mein itna hi denge. So we can match them their gift when they get married. Someone, you know, if they give a $100 check when someone gets married and they're from their family, now we have to give how much? 100. We won't do 100, by the way. For this, he will do 101. Right? In Allah with him, Hibul with him. Allah is odd and he loves odd numbers. There's actually a base for that, by the way. But anyway, you know, so we match them. It's all about you do good for me, I do good for you. Scratch my back, I'll scratch your back. You don't scratch mine, I don't care about you anymore. And I've seen this happen a lot. You know, people respect imams in the community who are eloquent and well-known. But the imam who can't speak your language, he has a mountain of knowledge on his shoulders, but no one will dare look at that person. You know, we all have our vested interests on who we go after and who we sit with. That's another discussion. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that laysal wasilu bil mukafi. The one who joins ties is not the one who shakes the hand of the person who extends his hand forward. Walakin al wasil alladhi idha quti'at rahimahu wasalaha. The one who joins ties is the one that when someone comes and slaps you on the face, you go and join ties with that person. You go and join ties. I want to close with one narration. You know, Imam Suyuti rahmatullahi alayhi in his tafsir, he quotes that Musa alayhi salam asked Allah, Ya Allah, who is the most honorable of all of the servants in your eyes? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the one who has the ability to take revenge. He has the ability to take revenge, yet he forgives that person. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us all to have beautiful hearts like the heart of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us all to be like the sahabi who forgave everyone every night before he went to sleep. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us all to be like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions who were way open-hearted. And not only did they forgive people, but they also made dua for them. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah.